Well, good morning. Welcome. 11 o'clock service. It's good to see you guys up and about and celebrating and praising Jesus with us today. You excited to be here? All right, good. I am too. Today we are jumping back into our gospel series. We took a break last week for Mother's Day, and that was an awesome day. And thank you guys for joining us there. Your pictures look beautiful. And if you haven't grabbed them, you can grab them on the way out. But we're jumping back into the gospel series. And so I really quickly wanted to just kind of recap a little bit, talk about what the series is, why we're doing it, and then talk about the 2 weeks before this one. So our series, Gospel, is really learning how to share the gospel. The first week of the series, I talked about kind of what I felt is an issue within American churches is that we're not really evangelizing the way that we need to be evangelizing. We've gotten really good at giving out invite cards and sharing social media posts and stuff like that and telling people to come to church, and that's great, and that's fine, and definitely do that, but we've lost sight of actually sharing the gospel with people, telling them about the life-changing message of Jesus Christ and walking them through that. And so this whole series is about equipping you to be confident in sharing the gospel with others, whether it be a family member, whether it be a friend, whether it be a coworker, or even a complete stranger. And so it's a pretty simple thing to remember because it's the gospel, and it's the gospel in six words, or life in six words, and each one of the letters of the gospel stands for a word, and so that's what we've been talking about. And so the G is God, the O is R, the S is sins, the P is paying, the E is everyone, and the L is life. So it's God, R, sins, paying everyone, life. And so as we go through this, we want you to know how to share this. And with each one of those words comes a short sentence that you can elaborate on. So with the G, it's that for the first week, we said God created us to be with him. God created us in his image. God created us with a purpose. And most importantly, God created us to be in relationship with him. So that's what we want everyone to understand, that God created us to be with him, to be in relationship with him. In his image, we were created. And so we talked about that and the importance of that. Then we got into the O, which is our sins are what separate us from God. So we're created in his image, but sin comes in and creates this separation. So what sin is it's disobedience. And as we are disobedient to God or to whoever, that disobedience creates distance. So sin leads to separation from God. And it's all of our sin. It's not just something that we're going to say, oh, Adam and Eve did that and that was their fault. No, it's my sin, it's your. All of us sin and fall short of the glory of God. So God created us to be with him. Our sin separates us. And then this week, we're jumping into the S, that sin cannot be removed by good deeds. By good deeds. And so we're going to talk about that. If you haven't been here or you're just joining us, you missed it. We had some resources that we were giving out. We gave out these awesome books and these awesome bracelets. And if you want one, too bad. We don't have any. We got more bracelets coming. The books are actually sold out online, which is an awesome thing, right? So these books are going out. And so I'm hoping that we'll be able to get more of the books in. The bracelets, simply just say gospel on them. And it's something for you to wear, something that could be a conversation piece, something you talk about. I gave one away and I was scurrying this morning trying to find one. And I finally did, and it's a little tight. And so that just helps you go through it. And it's a visual reminder. And so we want you to have that. We're also going through a Bible plan. It's the Life in Six Words. It's a 40-day plan that we've been going through. It's really powerful stuff. It's taking a lot of what I'm sharing and expounding on that over 40 days. And so if you haven't joined us in that, you still can. We'd love for you to do that on the next steps or on your prayer card. You can just simply write LI6W, Life in Six Words, Bible plan, and we'll get you added to that. Lastly, there's an app. It's the Life in Six Words app, and the whole thing is about six words, and it's just another tool, another resource to help you share the gospel. And so they say, hey, create your own six words, words that describe you and that you could share about your life with somebody else as you share with them and have them, you know, choose six words and why they chose six words, and then kind of bring it all together and say, hey, you know what, I want to share about God in six words, and then you can just dive into the gospel that we are talking about. So anyway, today we're doing sins, that our sin cannot be removed by good deeds. And I want to, like I've done every week, I want to read just a little bit from this Life in Six Words book. This is page 28 and 29. It's a portion of the sin part, and it'll be up on the screen for you to follow along. Here's what it says. Many people live their lives believing they can make up for the bad things they do by doing good things. Heap up your good deeds, chant, pray, meditate is their mantra. They think if they do enough good things, they'll earn their way into heaven or nirvana or wherever. But the Bible tells us that our holy and perfect God doesn't weigh our good and bad deeds against each other to see if we can pull out a 51%. God doesn't even grade on the curve. The Bible says point blank, nothing impure will ever enter heaven, Revelation 21, 27. That means if you've ever sinned just once, you're disqualified for entrance into a holy and perfect heaven, and that counts all of us out. Up to the next page, it says, what do we qualify for is eternal separation from God in a place called hell. Romans 6, 23 makes it clear that the wages of sin is death, and it's bad news all around. Through our own human efforts, we can't be good enough to make it into a perfect heaven and stand in the presence of a perfect God. All our efforts are just spraying cologne on a corpse. And so on the other side, it shows that, and it has, you know, the good intentions, and there's a corpse there, and it's trying to just spray goodness and try to make cover up the death, and has the final destination, and the sins is wages of sin is death, and then, of course, the sinful injection that we are all sinners. And so it says, you know, we can't spray cologne on a corpse because sins cannot be removed by good deeds. Here's how the Bible puts it. We are all infected and impure with sin. When we display our righteous deeds, they are nothing but filthy rags. That's Isaiah 64, 6. Good enough just doesn't cut it. It's a pretty powerful illustration right there in that book, corpse cologne. And no matter how much cologne you spray on a corpse, you could dump the whole bottle of cologne on that corpse, it's not going to change the facts that it's still a corpse, that it's still dead and it's still stinky, right? It's not going to change it. And so that's kind of what we're talking about today, that sin, it leads to death, and our good deeds, the good things we try to do, they won't fix that and they don't fix that. Here's what Ephesians 2, 1 through 3 says. It says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. That's you, that's me, that's all of us. We were all dead in our sins and our trespasses in which we once walked, following the course of this world, the desires, the fleshly desires, the culture, and trying to, you know, just fit in and conform to this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. You know, I talked about, you know, how our sins lead to separation, and I love that it talks about disobedience because disobedience creates distance. And so we're all dead in our trespasses. We're separated from God in our sins because our sin is what separates us from God. Separation from God is, so He's the giver and sustainer of life. And when we choose sin, it leads to death because we're separating ourselves from the life giver. And no amount of good that we do can fix that or bring us back into relationship with him. No amount of good that we do can bring us back to life. So we know this, that God created us to be with him. That's what he wants. That's his plan. That's what he wants for all of us. But sin enters in and separates us from him. So what do we know? God created us to be with him. Sin is the problem. And so if God wants us to be in relationship with him, if we fix the sin, we fix the relationship, right? And this is true for our relationships as well. If there is sin present in your life or in their life, and that relationship is strained, if there's sin, get rid of the sin, you'll fix the relationship. That's a whole other topic for a whole other time, but I just wanted to share that with you. But so, if we want to fix the relationship, we got to take care of sin. But the problem is, for you and I, sin can't be fixed by us. It can't be fixed by our good deeds. And so we're going to unpack that today. And so I want to pray, and then we'll dive into this. God, thank you for an amazing day with your people, to be in your presence, to worship and praise your holy name. God, thank you for speaking and moving already during the 9 o'clock service. God, I pray today, right here, right now, the people that are in this room would be attentive to your words, attentive to your spirit, that they would hear you, that they would heed you, and that they would make the change necessary to be more like you. God, speak through me. Allow your spirit to move. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. So sin cannot be removed by good deeds. And I think one of the things we could probably go back to is we could say, okay, well, we have the Bible, and we know in the Bible we have the Ten Commandments, or what we know as the law. And so if there's all these laws and there's these Ten Commandments that we're supposed to follow, if I can just follow those, won't I be good enough? If I just live out the Ten Commandments, I go to heaven, right? Wrong. That's not true at all. Well, let me just share a little bit about, just really quickly, about the Old Testament. And we know it as Old Testament and New Testament. Oftentimes when you see it mentioned in the New Testament, they talk about it and they call it the law and the prophets. First five books is the law. It's Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. That's where, you know, God, he really begins to communicate with his people. You have Abraham, you have Moses. He gives them the law. And so they have the law and they know this law. They memorize this law. And so you have the law. And then anything after that, Psalms, Proverbs, all the Chronicles and all the, all the stuff, that's the prophets. And so it's the law and the prophets. And that's what the people had for the longest time. So you have the Old Testament, the law and the prophets. And then we have what we call the New Testament. And I think a better word for testament is actually a new covenant, because that's what it is. There was an old covenant, an imperfect covenant, a covenant that really wasn't going to be the final solution. It was the old law and the prophets. And then you have the new covenant. And it's new because the new covenant comes in and fulfills the old covenant. I love what Matthew 5:17, Jesus says, "Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets." Like, all of that's, you know, it's still good for us to look to. "I've not come to abolish," and that's where you see the law and the prophets. He's talking about the Old Testament. He says, "I've not come to abolish them," but what did he come to do? He came to fulfill it. He came to do what the law couldn't do. So the law kind of comes in and it exposes the sin that's already there. And God just kind of said, "Hey, here are the things that are already there. I'm just laying them out there so you have a clear view of what not to do." So it's going to expose the sin that's already present. And because you see that there's this sin going on and you need to see it, and then you're going to have to continually require you to give a sacrifice for it, because when there's sin present, there's a penalty that has to be paid. And so they had to follow the law and continually make these sacrifices to the law all the time. And so it was imperfect. Wasn't good enough. I think about this and, you know, following the law and living by the law and having to make these continual sacrifices. How many of you love to cut your grass? Like, it's just one of your favorite things to do. Anybody? No one here. Oh, that's amazing. There are a few people. You were in the last service as well. So it's just Michelle. Everybody look at her and laugh. I'm just kidding. I think you being proud of your grass and cutting your grass, it's one of those things you can go out and you see it and it's growing and it's, you know, it's getting out of control. And so you go and you cut it and you edge it and you make it look good and it's fantastic and you did it perfectly and you did it religiously and you did it every week. And guess what's going to happen 2 weeks from then? You're going to have to do it again. And no matter how good you do it, no matter how perfect you make it look, it's going to grow again and you're going to have to keep. And that's kind of like what the law was. It was this imperfect solution to the problem of sin. And we say, well, okay, with the Old Testament, though, there was no Jesus. So what about what happened for the people before Jesus? Well, that's all they had. They had the law, and they had these sacrifices that they had to continually make. The Israelites had to follow the law and make continual sacrifices. And I don't know about you, but I'm so glad today that we don't have to make blood sacrifices, right? Imagine just coming in here every week and just slaughtering an animal. Be like, all right, let's go, let's do this thing. And every single one of us has to do it. And I wouldn't accept your blemished little, you know, first calf. I need the perfect one. And then I might sell them. No, I'm just kidding. I'm getting into something totally different. So I got off on a tangent. So the people before Jesus, they had to continually make sacrifice. And what the law did and what these sacrifices, it just helped them remember to keep following God. And if you read any of the Old Testament, you know, they had a really, really hard time doing this. A really hard time following God. Because the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, it was just a temporary solution. It was a temporary covenant until Jesus came, and he became the new covenant. The law was all they had, and when Jesus came and did his redemptive work on the cross, paying for sin once and for all, and giving them access to the Spirit, they no longer needed to live by the law in order to be reconciled back to God. They no longer had to pay or make this sacrifice to pay a penalty, because Jesus did it. And so we still have the law, but the reality is Jesus is all we need because he fulfilled the law. Does that make sense? So we don't, the Ten Commandments, they don't bring us back into relationship with God. Only Jesus can do that. Only the perfect blood sacrifice can do that. And so we think, well, I'll do these good deeds and I'll do these good works and it'll help me, reconcile myself back to God. But good deeds and good works are something that flow from God. They are not something that are going to reconcile us back to him. I think all too many people try to work their way back into relationship with God, try to do good deeds in order to one day be in heaven with him. And so here's the truth. Jesus followers, we will naturally exhibit good deeds. And you wonder why that is? It's because when Jesus came, and he paid the penalty, and he died, and he rose again, and then he ascended into heaven. What did he send us? He sent us the Spirit. And it's the Spirit that resides in us that is good. And it's acceptance and surrender to God where we get that goodness in us, and that goodness in us then flows out of us. And we get what we call the fruits of the Spirit. And so we got love, we got joy, we got peace, we got patience, we got goodness, we got faithfulness, we got gentleness and self-control. It's not us, but it's the Spirit in us that is good. And so if you have that Spirit, guess what will happen naturally? You will do good deeds. You're not gonna do good deeds to get back into relationship with God. It's by having him and surrendering to him that you become good. So, good deeds, what do? They help us glorify God. They help us share the love of God with others. But those good deeds, those good works, those are things that should flow from our relationship with him. They are not something that's going to form a relationship with him. So this is the truth. No amount of law keeping, or I should say, no amount of good deeds will ever be enough to fix sin separating us from God. You'll never be able to do it. You could keep all 10 commandments. You could keep all 100, because there's hundreds of them in the Old Testament. Hundreds of, you could keep all of them and still be separated from God here on this earth and for all of eternity. You can go look at the story of the rich young ruler comes to Jesus and says, what must I do to get into heaven? And he says, keep the commandments. And Jesus is kind of just, and he says, well, I've done that. I've done that since I was a young boy. I've kept all the commandments. And he said, there's one thing. He says, go home, sell everything and come and follow me. And he wasn't willing to do it. And what was he saying? Surrender yourself fully to my lordship, to me as Savior. And that's how you get into heaven. It's not all these good deeds. It's not following them. It's by me and through me that you are reconciled back to God. And so really what the law is, what it was for the Israelites, what it is for us, the law is a constant reminder of our sin, that we are sinners. Here's what it says in Romans 3:20. It says, no person will be justified, freed of guilt and declared righteous in his sight by trying to do the works of the law or do good works. For through the law, we become conscious of sin, and that recognition of sin directs us towards repentance but provides no remedy for it. So the law makes us conscious of the sin that is already within us. And that's all it does, and that's all it's good for. It can't save us. It's recognizing it, repenting, and then turning back to Jesus and giving it over to him. So the law is a constant reminder of sin. And if Jesus came and fulfilled the law, then what Jesus is a constant reminder of God's grace, right? It's a constant reminder that even though we're sinful and even though we mess up, that God loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us, to pay the penalty for our sin, and we don't have to work for it. It's a constant reminder of a resurrected new life in Christ. That's what Jesus is, because Jesus fulfilled the law. And when he fulfilled the law, he fixed the problem of sin. And it's by full surrender to him as both our Lord and our Savior. That's what reconciles us back to God. Now, I've given you a good example about this. I've kind of driving this thing home. We've talked about the corpse cologne and what it looks like and how good deeds are not good enough to help the problem of sin or to make sin better or bring us back to life. So I decided to do another illustration, one that kind of speaks more my language. We have the coffee shop. I love coffee. And anytime I get an opportunity to talk about coffee, share coffee, drink coffee, I do it. Okay? And so we're gonna do this today. And so here's what I got. I got a French press. How many of you guys have ever done French press before? Okay, cool. So you know French press is amazing. If you've never had French press, definitely get some French press. Come to Echo Coffee all week long. Okay, there's the shameless plug. And get some French press. So here's what it is. I'm gonna, I got my coffee right here. I already ground it. I ground it specifically for French press. If you're doing French press at home, you don't want to get the stuff that's pre-ground at the store. You want to get it ground a little bit more coarse. Just there's some knowledge for you, okay? So I got this, and I'm going to grab the right amount that I need. I'm going to put it in here. And so what you see, there's a strainer if you don't know what this is. And then you put the coffee grounds in here. And so we're going to grab, where's my, oh, I put it in there. Okay, here we go. So we got, we're going to do 1, 2, 3, and then we'll just pour the rest in. Oh yeah, oh yeah. But that's, we still need a little bit more. And so I have the coffee. This is, it smells good. You can't smell it. I can smell it. I love it. I told somebody the other day, like I take these bags when they're unopened and there's a little air pocket right there and you can squeeze it and you can smell it. And what I like to do is I like to squeeze it into my beard. And I smell coffee all day long. It's great. Anyway, sorry. Getting away from this whole thing. This is good. This is good. French press is good when you make it. It's just so smooth and it's just so wonderful and it's going to be awesome. There's not enough in here. And so here's the deal. This is how God created us to be. It's good. And we smell good, right? And it's going to be amazing. And it's going to be just this fragrance of God because we're made in his image and we're purposed for him. And it's going to be awesome, okay? But the reality is we got sin that enters in. And so in this case, I'm going to add a little bit of dirt into the coffee. And someone asked me earlier, they're like, what kind of dirt? I'm like, this is fancy bougie dirt. So, so it tastes good. Got to get the good stuff. It's got weird, I don't know what's in there. Okay, there's one of those. And we're going to add another one. And so now what we've done is we've taken something good and we've added dirt and it's not good. And so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to start the brewing process. And so if you really want to make your French press really good, you got to, you know, get a little layer of water in there. I really like making coffee, okay? And then just a little bit, and then you stir it around. And get those vapors going, those gases, and you smell it. And let that kind of just steep just a little bit. There's no early right time, just a little bit, the time that you like. Okay, and then you add the rest of the water in there. Mm-hmm. It's a fun sound. All right, here we go. Yes. Sounds like coffee dirt. Okay, here we go. And we put this on. And then normally what I do is I get a timer. I set a timer for 3 minutes. If you want it a little bit stronger, you could do 3.5 minutes. And so we're going to pretend that I'm doing this for 3 minutes. And as I let this kind of steep just a little bit, I'll kind of tell you what's going on. So this is what we call an immersion brew, okay? So the coffee and the water are all sitting together right now, and it's brewing, and it's steeping, and it's wonderful. It's not like your normal drip where it drips through and it comes out the bottom. I equate, how many of you guys like cold brew? Cold brew coffee. Oh, it's so good. So smooth, right? Well, cold brew coffee, if it's made the right way, it's typically an immersion brew where you put the coffee in this big colander and there's coffee in there and you have water and it just kind of seeps out and it's so wonderful. Buy some cold brew after this. Okay. Shameless plug number two. Okay. And so this is kind of the equivalent of hot, which would be French press. And so it's just sitting in there and all the goodness is coming out. And let's say 3 minutes we're up. And then what you're going to do is you're going to press the little plunger down. Don't do it too fast. Okay. Let the process, you know, be patient with your coffee, okay? If you really want to enjoy it, don't rush yourself through coffee drinking, okay? So here we go. We're going to push it down. And so what that's doing is it's pushing all the coffee, and in this case, dirt, down to the bottom. It's separating it. And so now we're going to pour it into the cup, and we don't want any of the coffee or the dirt in our cup. So here we go. All right. Nice, yummy cup of coffee with dirt. All right. So there we go. Now, the funny thing is, like, I could do this any given day of the week, and I could hand this to you, and you'd be none the wiser, right? You'd be like, all right, Brent, maybe a French press with a little dirt in it. So it looks like, and you're like, ah. So, I mean, it's still coffee, and it's still good. It's just a little bit of dirt, but let's try to add some goodness to it. Let's make it better. Let's try to cover up the fact that there is dirt in my coffee. So the first thing we're going to do is we're gonna add just a little bit of creamer. Oh yeah. See now, yeah, you guys are like, okay, a little creamer in there. I don't want it black. So we get creamer in there. So okay, if I was to drink it right now, I'm not going to. If I was to drink it right now, it'd be enough. But I still think we need a little bit more. So let's try to add some more goodness in order to cover up the dirt that's in there. So let's add just a little bit of sugar. Stir that in there. That'd probably make it better, right? You probably wouldn't. You know, you try to forget that there's dirt in your coffee and you just taste some of the sweetness. Or maybe not. It's still not enough and you still might be found out that you have dirt in your coffee. So let's make one of our favorite flavors. It's called the Forever Family. And what's in the Forever Family is peanut butter, chocolate, and caramel. Okay, and so we're going to add those three things. We'll start with the chocolate. Woo. I'm really just doing this so you guys buy more coffee. Try the Forever Family. Okay, we're going to stir that up. And now it's going to change a little bit, make it a little bit darker and get that chocolate in there. All right. Then we're going to add one of my favorites, peanut butter. If you've never thought to try peanut butter in your coffee, I suggest you do it. Three pumps or four pumps? Four. I heard four. The first two didn't count because nothing came out. And you'd be like, oh, you know what? This is probably enough peanut butter and chocolate, but nah, let's add. We're just going to do one pump of caramel. Caramel's not my favorite, so we're just going to do one of those. Anybody want to come and have a little sippy sip? I'm just kidding. I'm not really going to let you drink this. No, Josiah. They're back there in the back trying to get me to drink. I'm not doing it. And they're like, yeah, just drink a little bit and fall over and act like you're dead. I'm like, all right, that's taking it too far, people. The reality is, like, if you didn't know, you probably would never know, right? Because I've added this sugar, I've added all the flavors, and you would drink it and be none the wiser. But it's still not good enough. Where's my whipped cream? Yeah, well, that's what we need. That's weird that he's just sitting there with that, isn't it? Man. So we're going to make it really good. You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. And like everyone's like, I just want to eat that top bit off. Okay, not done yet. Because we got to keep adding good. We got to keep masking the fact that there's dirt in this thing. So let's add a little chocolate drizzle. Oh, yeah. Get it going down the side and stuff. I'll take a picture of it later and post it online and say, come get one of these. And someone will be like, I want one of those things you post. I'm like, you sure? All right. You get it. Now, I am going to take a picture of it. Hold on. I didn't do this last service. Because this is a good-looking cup of coffee, isn't it? Woo! All right. Now, here's the reality. Most of us, like, we might have fun and someone might come drink this. But the reality is, no matter what I add to this, no matter what I do to this to try to make it good, the fact still remains that there is dirt in this coffee, that I have brewed coffee with dirt. And the same thing is true when you and I try to add good deeds to our life, our sinful life, and try to make it good. It's never going to change the fact that there is sin in your life that you can do nothing to remove. It's only through Jesus that he could change this, all right? Jesus turned water into wine, and Jesus can turn dirt coffee into really good coffee. You know what I'm saying? And only Jesus can do that. Only Jesus can do that. And so that's kind of what I'm trying to drive home here. It's like you can add all the good stuff to the dirt in your life, to your dead life that is done in sin, and what you're going to get is good dirt, all right? Try to sell that online. I got good dirt for sale. Come and get it. You know, like it's not going to be good enough. Or what you can do, instead of trying to add goodness on top of your dirt dead life, you can surrender all of it to Jesus and get new life. And that's what we need to do. It's surrendering our sin to him, because you and I, in our power, in our good deeds, can never remove the sin that separates us from God. He sent Jesus to do that, and Jesus died on the cross, and he rose again to give you and I resurrected life in him. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says this, and it's by God's grace, God's remarkable compassion and favor drawing you to Christ that you have been saved, actually delivered from judgment and given eternal life through faith. And this salvation, it's not of yourself. It's not through your own effort, but it is the undeserved, gracious gift of God, not as a result of your works, nor your attempts to keep the law, so that no one would be able to boast or take credit in any way for his salvation. It's him and him alone. Listen, dirt is dirt, and no amount of good added to it will make it better. And sin is sin, and no good of ours will fix that or make it better. Isaiah 64:6, you heard me talk about it from the book. Here's what it says. All have become like one who is ceremonially unclean, like a leper. All of our deeds of righteousness are like filthy rags. Now, if you don't know what that means, you have a homework assignment. Go look up what filthy rags means, and that is your so-called good works and righteousness to God. All of our deeds of righteousness, filthy rags, they're gonna wither, they're gonna decay like a leaf, and our wickedness, our sin, our injustice, our wrongdoing, like the wind, they take us away and carry us far from God's favor toward our destruction. our sin, our unrighteousness. It separates us from God. And so here's what Isaiah is telling us. Your greatest, the greatest good you could ever do. You could start a charity. You could give tons of money to charity. You could serve the homeless. You could do all these good things. Your greatest is worthless. It's just rags. And all my doing and all my striving, I will never be holy with the Holy One who died, lives, and resides in me. And now, hear me straight. I'm not saying don't do those things. But I'm just saying those things aren't going to reconcile you back to your Savior and to your God. There's only one thing. There's only one person that can do that. And his name is Jesus, the Holy One who is righteous. So when it comes to believing, when it comes to receiving and sharing the good news of Jesus, the idea that sin cannot be removed by good deeds kind of sets apart Christianity from all other religions. Now, most religions agree that there is a problem with humanity that needs to be fixed. We talked about it. We know what it is. The problem is sin. The difference is in how we fix it. So with the Mormons, Mormonism is its law and the covenants, what you got to do. In Hinduism, salvation is achieved three ways, the way of works, the way of knowledge, or the way of devotion, what you got to do. In Buddhism, it's the Four Noble Truths, what you got to do. In Islam, it's the five pillars of Islam. There's a ladder to heaven or paradise or nirvana or wherever in every world religion except Christianity. Christianity doesn't have some ladder that you got to work up to, that you got to do something to achieve. What Christianity has is a cross. And that cross leads us to God, leads us back to God. And our religion is the only religion where our God lives. Our Savior is resurrected. Yeah, he died and he took our place, but he lives, and through him and by him, you and I can be resurrected from our dead life as well. In all other religions, it's what you can do. In Christianity, it's what Jesus did for you. And accepting that and surrendering all your sin, all your shame, all of it at his feet. So the solution to our sin problem, it's not trying to do better, trying to do good deeds, but it's just trusting in him, trusting who he is, trusting what he did for you on the cross, and that he rose again. So it's not good works, right? No, it's God's work. God's work of redemption through Jesus' death on the cross and ultimately his resurrection and new life. And it's truly trusting that, trusting Jesus to save us. And that starts by stop trying so hard. No amount of good will ever reconcile you back to God. It's through Jesus and Jesus alone. I want to read out Ephesians 2, 8 all the way through 10 now, and then we're going to close out in prayer. It says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, and we're created in Christ to do good works, which God prepared us for in advance to do. It's by Christ, through the receiving of the Holy Spirit, that we are made good." I'm gonna ask you guys to bow your heads, close your eyes. And I wanna kind of speak to two different things here. The first one, today maybe you're here and say, "I've been a Christian for a long time. I recognize who Jesus is, and I know what he did for me, and I know he took my place." But maybe you'd be honest enough to say, either to yourself or to God right now, that somewhere along the line, you started believing that you had to continue to do good work in order to stay in good standing with God. And so you set out on a daily basis to do these good deeds, to do these good works, to do these good things, all in an effort to secure your relationship with God. And I want to tell you today that you don't have to do that. Now, it's gonna be something that naturally happens because of the Holy Spirit within you, but you don't have to work for your salvation. Jesus already did the work on the cross. He paid the penalty. He carried the burden and the weight of sin on himself for you, so you don't have to. So if you're trying and you're striving and you're trying to do all these things in an effort to please God or to, you just don't have to. And my prayer is that I could release someone from that and trying to do in order to secure your relationship with him. Jesus did that. So whatever it is, all your striving, all your trying, whatever it may be, man, all you need to do is lay it at Jesus' feet. He's got you because he's enough. Now, the next person that I want to talk to, maybe for all your life, you've believed the lie that doing good things will get you into heaven. That if you're just good enough, you'll make it there. If you're nice, if you're kind, you serve at a charity, you do good things. You're generally a good person. And so because you're a good person, that'll get you into heaven. That'll get you back into a relationship with God. Maybe you're hearing today for the first time that that thinking is wrong. I'm glad you're here. Because there's only one way, there's only one truth, there's only one life, and his name is Jesus Christ. And today, for you, it's recognizing that nothing you do will ever be good enough, but that Jesus, who offers his life up for you, already did it for you. And all you have to do is simply surrender to him. Give it all to him. The pain, the regret, the shame, those hidden things that no one else knows. He knows it all. And he loves you. And he cares for you. He knows it all and he wants a relationship with you. God wants a relationship with you. And the only way to have that removed, to have that wiped clean, is through Jesus Christ. Recognize that day today. Hear that today. Believe that today. Understand that you are a sinner and seek out forgiveness. Lay all your sin, all your burden at his feet and declare him the Lord and Savior of your life. And as you do, receive that new life and that new hope and that new purpose, that resurrected life in Christ through the Holy Spirit that lives within you. God, I thank you for today. I thank you for your truth. I thank you for clarity of your word, of the gospel. I thank you for releasing people from the burden and the weight of trying to just be good enough. God, thank you for the reminder that you love us. In all of our filth and all of our mess and all of our sin and all of our mistakes, you love us. And it's such a powerful thing. But I pray for reconciliation today between you and your sons and your daughters. And as you reconcile that relationship, God, that you begin to reconcile and fix the relationships in their life as well. Thank you for working. Thank you for moving today. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.